With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Richard Vranch.
Comedian, actor, doctor, taxidermist, toaster, spatula, pawn. Richard Vranch, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that lovely introduction. That makes me a quadruple threat, I believe.
That's right. You are at least four threatening things. Now, we're here to answer one question, and one question alone. Who is Richard Vranch?
I spend a lot of time answering to that name.
Right.
And actually...
Does Richard mind?
No, Richard's fine with it. Actually. Okay, no, Richard. In many ways, Richard Brunch has a better career than I do. Richard Vranch, yes, a very, very, very successful person who I admire and who I emulate.
Right. So you get a lot of your ideas from him. When people say, Richard, where do you get your ideas? You simply answer,
Brunch.
Brunch. Yes. No, fair enough. Fair enough. It says in my fact sheet here that unlike many of your contemporaries, and certainly unlike many of mine, you were brought up working class. Now, what was your thinking behind that?
Well, I thought that if you do come from a very humble background, it does give you a lot more to complain about later.
Right.
And having a chip on your shoulder means you'll never go hungry.
Interesting, yes. And that helps, does it, in your career, having a chip on your shoulder?
Well, it does. It gives you something to push against, which is always good.
Good. Mm. Something to push against.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, I know what something to push against is, yes. I mean, in the broadest sense, I don't necessarily know what you mean in this context, but I certainly have pushed against a thing. I mean, just off the top of my head, only yesterday there was a chair, and I think last year there may have been a tree.
Ah. But well, of course, thanks to Newton, we know that the chair and the tree will have pushed back at you with exactly the same force.
Well, those bastards, I had no idea.
I know, they never apologise.
They never apologise. Has Newton found out why?
No, he...
What a lazy bastard. Yeah. Stopped at just finding out that first thing that I will remember forever. On a scale from steelworkers to falconry, how working class were you?
Quite falconry.
Quite falconry. Towards the falconry.
Towards the falconry.
So still a bit of steel.
Still a bit of steel. Yeah, more kind of post office telephones.
Right. Yes. I see where you are. Yes. Yes. There's a bit of steel involved in those.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Indeed. There is steel. And copper.
And copper.
None of my family were in the police force.
None of them.
No.
None of them were coppers.
No.
No coppers at all. There was one woman almost groaning at that.
Well,
but she couldn't even be bothered.
I know that situation well.
Yes. We'll perhaps get onto that later. But it must have been a tricky life. It was a hard life. It was a difficult life. It was an awful life.
No. It was all very. I found some of it almost too easier. So you got a bit bored, really. And,
right.
And I think that's why I sort of fell in with the thespians, because they are classless, you know. And that's why they're dangerous. I found
a lot of them quite classless. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's not a question of where you're from. It's how can you make this better.
And what is this in that particular sentence?
Whatever it is they want to make better.
Right. So how do you make this flan better? How do you make this treaty better? That sort of thing.
Well, that would be... If you were going into politics, yes, but going into the...
Yeah, there's a lot of flans in politics.
Oh.
It's why I didn't go into it, really.
I'm so pleased someone said that out loud at last. That's
finally. Yes. Finally, we can unlock this whole mess.
Yes.
There's a flan. Get over it.
Yes.
And that did lead you on to attending Cambridge.
I attended Cambridge.
You did?
Yes, I attended Cambridge.
Now, did you find your working class roots made you stand out like a neon squirrel, or did it sort of isolate you like a goth at a Cayley?
Well, a combination of the both, actually.
Right.
It was like a neon goth.
Oh, my God.
I know, and nobody likes a neon goth.
Not even the goth, especially.
No.
They're furious about it.
But again, you see, but obviously one falls in with those who find themselves in the same
room.
Trench.
Oh, trench, yes, or trench.
You can fall into a trench.
Well, I think you could fall into a room if it's got an attic space.
You could, yes, you're right, actually, yes.
Yeah, but you fall in with people in a trench.
Yeah, exactly. You fall in and then you fall out sometimes, but mostly you fall in.
Mm.
And then you shake it all about.
So, right. So you found like-minded people.
Like-minded, yes.
Like-minded. But presumably you didn't go to Cambridge with the express idea of getting into comedy, did you?
No. I mean, it's not you who decides, is it? It's other people who decide.
By laughing at you.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
And then you've got to work out whether they're laughing at you or laughing at you.
You're right, that's it. I mean, this has been a recurring theme in this series that many comedians... It's never by design that you make people laugh. You just find people are laughing at you from the moment you're born until the day you die. And so you may as well... do it in a specific direction and get paid for it.
Monetization,
exactly. So how did you first dip your toe into the warm poo of comedy?
With trepidation,
yes.
And
is he still doing it? Or?
Oh, yes. Right. It was a very good double act.
Right.
Dickie and Trepidation, we were called.
Dickie
and Trepidation. And we used to do revivals of old 1920s routines.
Thank God someone was reviving them.
Yes, well, we managed to get a bit of life out of a couple of them.
Right.
I played the washboard and we'd have aspidistras and...
But you grew beyond that.
Oh, of course.
In time.
Well, as I'm sure all of your guests have told you, it's the things you watch on the TV that become your thing that your parents don't like, but your generation likes it.
Right, your identity is forged by the fact that your parents don't get it.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, I felt that very much with all of the VHS tapes of things my dad had recorded off telly and said, here, these are brilliant, you'll like these.
Mm.
No, hang on, that's the exact opposite, isn't it? I found nothing that my father didn't like. And it's probably why I'm like this.
Well, again, there's a generational gap, you see, because when I'm a bit older than you, and so when I was... But nobody can tell because it's audio, isn't it?
That's right. Nobody can tell at all.
But no, I think in those days it was audio. It was radio. It was what you heard on the radio.
Right.
And those were the influences, the sounds, and of course, radio is better because the scenery is cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper, and the actors tend to be cheaper too.
Very cheap. Very cheap.
Yes. Now you went to university with a lot of stone cold legends of comedy, didn't you? I mean, some people who would really become household names.
Yes.
Have some favourites?
Ken Dodd.
I mean, that's going back a bit, isn't it?
He was a mature student.
Was he? What did he study?
Time. Yes. One of Hawking's acolytes.
Right. Anyone else stand out? Just Ken Dodd?
Ryle and Ronnie. The Welsh double act, which you've never heard of.
I've never heard of them. Hearing them for the first time tonight.
Yeah, well, there were lots of... And, of course, in those days, if you wanted to look back at the archives, you couldn't just click for it. You had to...
Break into the BBC.
Break into the BBC. We used to do that, into the gramophone library.
Right. That was the internet of its day. You had to take some bolt cutters and break into a broadcasting house.
Yeah, into the gramophone library, where you could actually... Everything was labelled and it was all available.
Yes. So,
and it was all with a crackle. I love to hear comedy with a crackle.
Yes. Bit of bacon. Nom, 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 nom. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And you had to just search through and bring a gramophone with you, presumably.
Indeed, yes.
With your balaclavas
indeed.
On.
Indeed. And of course, one could make little cassette tapes to record, you know, with a little microphone in front of the speaker off the gramophone, and make little compilations of your favourite little kind of mixtapes of comedy. That's how we did it then.
And then you'd run away into the night as the security guard was like, "You pesky kids!
That's right, exactly.
Come back!
Exactly. Yes, indeed.
Come back with our comedy!"
But we never did. And of course, as we had their only copy, they could never play it again.
Never play it again. And that's why many episodes of Doctor Who no longer exist.
Exactly. It was all wiped.
Largely
by me, yes.
Yes.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian recorded live, our next show is on Thursday, the 20th of June, at King's Place Theatre in London, where I'll be interviewing Rachel Paris and Dara O'Brien. Tickets are now on sale from kingsplace.co.uk.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You left Cambridge ultimately, which was... the right way round, and...
It was one of the last things I did.
Right, at Cambridge.
Yes.
Good. And you were, by that time, a doctor. But not of medicine. Not of medicine. Richard isn't one of those comedians who abandons helping others for comedy. What did you abandon? What discipline was it?
Bombs.
Bombs?
Yes.
So why did you feel bombs wasn't the right path for you?
Well... nothing wrong with bombs.
Nothing wrong
with
them.
But it's who's
unless
got...
there's something wrong with them.
Well, an unpredictable bomb is the last thing you need. It really is.
Right.
No, technology is a wonderful thing. Mm. Without technology, we wouldn't be being heard. And the first people to use the technology tend to be the bomb people rather than the fun people. So
right.
You thought, well, let's not help the bomb people.
So without bombs, no fireworks? Is that what we're saying?
The fireworks probably came before the bombs, but because they're so high up in the sky, they're not that dangerous.
But they're the same thing, is what you're saying.
I think they are,
it's
yes.
It's just where you throw it.
Oh, throwing them, the best fun. Definitely, definitely,
definitely
yes.
Throwing fireworks.
Yes, or bombs. You can throw
or
bombs.
You can throw bombs.
But I suppose to leave the bombs behind. And
right.
Yes.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I think that's a good decision. I mean, you tried to combine the bombs with comedy at first, didn't
you? I did.
With not much success.
No.
How did that act go? It was mostly on the cabaret.
It bombed.
It bombed.
It bombed,
yeah.
Yes.
So, Richard Grunch. Now... yes. We're going to talk about it, and I know you'd rather we wouldn't, but you became something of a household name.
Oh, yes.
When you appeared in the smash TV show Parlour Games for Mummy.
Parlour Games for Mummy. Well, people still remember it.
They still remember it. Alongside Little Johnny Prefect and Susan, to name barely anyone.
Yes, well, that was such a big impact in its day, because right. there were so few channels, as I would say, and so everyone kind of watched it at the time. There wasn't any on-demand thing, so people would stay in and watch it, and huge audiences by today's standards. And I was kind of there, sort of hidden away.
You were never allowed to speak?
Never.
Was that?
Well, it could have been the working class thing. It could have been that.
Right.
Or it could have been, well, the thing is, the producer said, look, you know, we need someone to stay in the corner, just in the corner, and to keep quiet for now.
Yes.
And just, you know, wear some swimwear. And just stay, look nice in the corner, and then maybe the next series you can come and join the comedians with whom you're... But I thought, no, fair enough. They need someone. It's sponsored by a swimwear company. So you need somebody in the corner doing, but I didn't realize at the time.
Demonstrating the speedboat or the microwave, whatever it was.
I think the company was called Budgie.
Budgie, right.
But so you're in the corner. Yes. But I didn't realize at the time, because obviously my own name was being used, that I'd be associated with swimwear.
Right.
But for the rest of
my
career.
For the rest of your life.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And you can't, you know, I did King Lear once at the... in the West End.
And did they make you
wear... The producer insisted I wore swimwear for the entire...
What a shame. Absolutely. I mean, it's a curse, isn't it?
Well, and it was cold. They had wind machines and everything, and it was terribly cold. I caught a death, no.
Oh, my God.
But no, and that's it, you see. So everything I do, I accept it now. It's kind of obligatory. That's what people want. It's like if Paul McCartney comes on stage and doesn't sing Yesterday. The audience is disappointed. You have to do it. So I know whatever I do... Always the swimwear.
Well, and bless you for wearing it tonight.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say it's the elephant in the room, but I'm glad we finally got round to it.
It's more of a rhino.
More of a rhino or some kind of shrew. So you were also used a lot as a reaction shot in that, weren't you,
I think.
So sort of little Johnny Prefect would say something sort of ghastly and smug, and then they'd cut to you looking mildly furious, and that sort of worked.
Oh yes. The thing is, if you're wearing the right swimwear, whatever your reaction is, people are going to buy it.
They're going to buy it.
The swimwear especially. Right. You can be smiling, you can be frowning. As long as you're there, that's part of the format.
If someone looks angry in Speedos, I believe them.
Mm. Oh, yes.
I don't go, what a disingenuous asshole.
It's one of the acting tips I give in my workshops.
You do workshops?
I do workshops, yes.
Is it all swimwear based?
Swimwear based, yeah.
Okay, all swimwear.
I always advise people to, when they turn up for an audition.
Right.
Swimwear,
no matter what it is.
No, and RCA.
What's RCA?
Rough as a camel's arse. Now, if you turn up for an audition...
Yes.
Rough, like you've been drinking, you're tired, you're exhausted...
Yes.
Some people might say that's unprofessional. It's perfectly professional, because that's... If you get the job, that's how you're going to turn up for the job.
Right.
So you might as well show them how it's going to be.
Yes.
And then, because, of course, if you do get the job... You'll be partying, so at least spend the money in advance, and you'll turn up looking rough. So you might as well be rough for the audition. Wear the swimwear, put your cards on the table. I've given away my workshop secrets now, but that's basically how it is.
And do those techniques work? I mean, do you get a lot of work by being hungover as all shit and wearing Speedos? No. For instance, have you been seen for, I don't know, what's on anymore? Like Doctors or something like that?
Oh, I dream of Doctors.
Or Marple.
I dream of Marple.
Marple's still on, it's always bloody on.
I've actually written to Doctors to say, look, I am a doctor. I know of bombs, obviously, but I've written to them.
And that could sound quite threatening if you write to them.
Yes.
Dear producers of Doctors. I am a doctor of bombs. Please give me a job on your show. I enclose a photo of me in swimwear.
That's exactly what I did. Right. Yes, and I did get a visit from the local police liaison, but it was fine. Everything was fine. It's true. I think the secret to working over a long career is never to be very good at anything.
Right.
Because if you're good at something, like I discovered I was not a bad swimwear model.
Right.
That's what you get. So the thing is, not to be that good, then you won't get asked to do it again and again and again, you see. So it's difficult to be really, really mediocre. Because if you're very good or very bad, that's easy. A lot of people are very good, very bad, sometimes at the same time.
Right.
And a lot of people... are quite good, quite bad. That's easy.
Yes.
But being very mediocre, just keeping your head below the parapet, keep working at every job once. Don't get asked.
Never do it again.
Move on.
Well, I have to say, I think you've mastered it.
Thank you.
Now, Richard Cranch, you've travelled all over the world.
Oh yes.
In the shows that you've done. I mean, that must be, you know, playing to expats everywhere, you know, milking them dry. Sometimes, literally. That must be incredibly rewarding financially and also in terms of air miles.
Oh, the air miles are extraordinary.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Tell me about the air miles.
Well, it depends which scheme you're on, I suppose.
Right.
But some of them you can get air miles not just for flying. You don't even have to fly.
Is that right?
Yes, you can go to some restaurants, or you can
get a bus.
Yeah, you can dog walking.
I mean, they're just desperate to have people on planes, aren't they?
Well, they are.
Just give away this stuff.
They are. But traveling is a marvelous thing. It's surprising how comedy travels.
Right. Well, via the vector of comedians, I would assume, and usually on a plane or in a boat.
Yes.
Right. But that is extraordinary.
It is.
Quite right.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Quite right. Do you think comedians travel less now that there's the internet and television and you know, war?
I think it makes no difference. In fact, all those things, especially the war, means that you travel more. Your reputation is wider. You've got more chance of playing to people live that have seen you electronically.
Right.
And, of course, entertaining the troops is big business.
Big business. The troops love comedy.
The troops love comedy. Oh, my goodness.
The troops do. And travelling to see the three people in Iraq who have seen you on YouTube, and then travelling to see the eight people in Australia who've seen you. It's an incredibly exciting time to be alive as a comedian. I certainly find that.
Well, I look
incredibly expensive time to be alive.
I look forward to the exploration of space in that respect.
Right. Yeah. Do you think you'll have as many fans in outer space as you do here on Earth?
Well, there's talk of a jongleurs on the moon.
Wow. It'll have about as much atmosphere. God, it's like a set-up joke. You could feel the shame pouring out of me as I said it.
I can smell it.
Yeah. That's not the shame. It's just where it comes from. Now, you've done a dizzying array of things in your career. Run us through some of the things, some of the incredible things you've done in your career. What TV shows you've been involved
with? Well, some kids' TV shows.
Right. What?
And some science TV shows, obviously. So the kids, I did Let's Play Dead.
Yes.
In which I actually wore this shirt.
Right. Let's Play Dead.
On ITV back in the 80s.
Right.
Let's Play Dead. That was good.
Now, what was Let's Play Dead? How did that work?
Well, basically what they did is they got three people who'd only just got their equity cards.
Right.
Because they were very cheap.
Very cheap.
And then put them on TV and nobody bothered. And that was it, basically. It was a winning formula. And I tried to do some science stuff before science was popular as it is now. The amazing Brian Cox has done the fantastic things for science communication. But back then, I was trying to sort of do a kids' science thing, trying to combine some of the stuff I'd done. So I did E equals MC square pants.
Right.
And that didn't go very well.
No. Run me through that. So E... What does E stand for? Is it the
energy?
Energy,
yeah.
Equals
M.
M.
Mass.
Well, mass,
which is not the rest mass, but the formula.
Yeah. MC. So
the speed of light.
Constant speed of light.
Yeah. And square.
Square
pants.
Square pants.
Yeah.
So squared, and then.
No, not squared. Square.
Square pants.
Square pants.
So.
But later on, someone else did square pants much more successfully.
Well, they took the science out of it. That was the secret of it,
exactly,
really.
Exactly.
They took all of that crap before,
yes.
about relativity, and then. Yeah. Then
but that's the other thing about having a mediocre career. You have the ideas other people have before they've had them.
Right. But you just do nothing about them.
No, exactly. You just leave in a notebook,
yes.
And then when someone else does them, it's great because you can sit at home with a wine box,
right.
And watch.
Yeah. I love
or even a gin box.
A gin box? Yeah, do they do those?
The gin box. If you don't want to drink the whole bottle of gin. Just have a box. Gin box.
You have a box for it. Yes. That's very sensible. And you just have one or two or three pints of gin, and you can leave the rest.
Litres.
You can leave the rest.
Litres.
Litres, yes,
and,
of course.
And so then you can watch the person that subsequently did your idea, and it means you haven't had to bother doing the bloody thing.
Right.
You can actually just watch someone else do it.
And you can go, oh, well, now I'll never do it.
Exactly. Well, yeah. No, you think, hooray, I won't have to do that.
Oh, good.
That's much better.
Well, because actually achieving things is exhausting.
Oh, it's terribly hard work.
Yes. I did it once. Never again. Oh. Never again. Now, if we could delve a little deeper into Richard LaRange for a moment. Really slice open your colon and pull out the meat, you know. Do you feel you've made a difference in life? The in life was controversial. So do you feel you've made a difference in Tesco's?
Well, in Sainsbury's, I've tasted the difference.
Right, yeah. Very good. Very good. You can't groan at that. It's why I've got Richard on. Now, so what is next for Richard Branch? Anything juicy slowly slipping down your pipeline?
I'm seeing a doctor about that. Yes,
right,
so
okay.
that's going to be sorted
finally.
Out. Yeah, finally. Yes,
finally.
Yes, yes. And when I've, and of course, whenever I go to a doctor and they say, "Oh, I see on your notes you're a doctor," they get a bit worried about that in case you're going to start, you know, telling them stuff. And
right, but you tell them you're a doctor of bombs. And they relax.
They're fine.
Instantly. Like, well, Richard Branch, thank you for letting us inside you.
Thank you,
Richard Branch. Richard!
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you've enjoyed the show, then please help us spread the word by liking Inside the Comedian on Facebook.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.